Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
All right, Carson Anderson, 97.1. I'm going through a lot here and finding my emotions. I'm not pissed at LeBron. I'm a little pissed at the Pistons. I'm really pissed at the Celtics. LeBron choosing, because you know what? I don't think our GM had a bad offseason. I think the team has gotten a little bit better. I suppose by definition, if somebody laps you, you had a bad offseason. So maybe I should rephrase how I put that. But I think here we've got a team that's building, that's got a chance to take some steps forward, has done some smart things around the core. They got to finish off this Durant contract. And then through circumstance, a guy that's still really good in this league decides to go play free for a rival. And that irritates me because I kind of think it's BS. At the end of the day, though, Philly did some things that I give them credit for, and Langdon maybe should have got involved. Specifically with Jaylen Brown, which could have sparked the LeBron thing. Does Trajan Langdon, who runs the Pistons, does he respond now? Does he respond and try and do something else? There's no news. There's been no news on DeMar DeRozan, right? And there's nothing new with Durant. So, but I'm not sure that would really dramatically increase. I mean, Durant might dramatically increase the Pistons' chances, but whatever. I'm pissed. I'm pissed.
No, I understand. I understand. You're not happy about
this.
Well,
I feel like I didn't know you could have a LeBron James for free. Now it's Trajan's job to know. So that's I'm not avoiding criticism of him here, but the Pistons just got lapped in the East.
Well, they got lapped because 76ers had a better roster to begin with. That's what happens.
Well, when they got Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When they got Jaylen Brown, everything changes. And I mean, Miami sure thought they had him. I'm sure Golden State thought they had a real shot at him. Cleveland's like, oh, he's coming back. And nope, he's going to Philly. That's where he went. Keith Smith's an NBA insider with 186,000 followers. He said two texts, one from a front office exec and one from an agent, basically saying the same thing. Finally, now we can finish the offseason. Then he goes on to say, expect some other deals to start moving now that LeBron James has picked his next team. So does that mean we should expect the Jalen Duren situation to resolve itself soon? Or does that mean that other players like a Kevin Durant, does that pick up again? Or is Houston just saying, no, we're good with him. We're hanging on to him. We're going to try to make a run with him. We thought last year was just an injury thing and we'll move on.
248-539-9797. Brian in Detroit. Hello, Brian.
Man, hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
What's up?
Man, listen, that's some bull crap, man. That's it. That's not even fair. Because what they're going to do is allow Philly to keep Embiid and LeBron healthy for the playoffs. Nobody's beating them in the East. There's no deal no other team in the East can make to beat them. That's the unfair part about it. And to go for $8 million, man, Doug, you and Gator could have came up with that money. How in the world?
I don't know about that.
How in the world? Listen, Brown and LeBron and with the squad they already have, nobody, who's beating them? That's the worst part about it is the season in the East is basically over. There's no moves the Pistons could do.
Brian, I would say this, and I might be repeating myself. I mean, if you look at it on paper, if Jaylen Brown is truly locker room poison, that may not help. Joel Embiid is never healthy, so you don't know if you can count on him. And LeBron said he was within an inch away of retiring, so is his heart really truly in it? All those things are factors. Hang on, I'm just saying, Brian, those are things that might factor in that what could torpedo what should be a championship run, it could torpedo it before it even gets started.
I don't believe it, Gate. I don't believe LeBron was ready to retire. That man be putting out workout videos. You look at his workout videos. You look at him, man.
I got to tell you.
Stop working.
Brian, I didn't believe that crap either. Oh, I was pretty sure I was done. Oh, let's build the drama anymore. Let me make sure my story has more drama in it. Look. I almost walked away.
Made Brian
there's
laugh.
Listen, nobody in the East can make moves to beat this team. Nobody. It's over with in the East. And fellas, and if Embiid and LeBron is healthy, nobody in the NBA is beating them. LeBron is still a top 12 player in this league. Look what he did when everybody thought they were going to lose to Houston Lakers. And look what he did.
Let me ask you this. What do you think of Kevin Durant?
Huh?
What do you think of Kevin Durant? Because if you're this effusive in your praise of an elder statesman like LeBron James, Durant, how do you feel about Durant?
Kevin Durant, if he was on the Pistons, with what they have now, if they get drawn back, if they don't run into Philly, it'll be them in Philly in the Eastern Conference Finals. But nobody's beating Philly. With Kevin Durant, they're not beating Philly.
Well, weird stuff happens. I'm not going to white flag it completely yet. But, yes, Philly looks rather formidable.
Yeah, they look quite formidable now.
I mean, given the fact, I'm really intrigued that Boston gave away Jaylen Brown. Like, does he go to Philly and poison that locker room? Does Joel Embiid get hurt? Does LeBron get hurt?
Well, Joel Embiid's definitely going to get hurt.
Thank you.
But that doesn't mean he won't be healthy for the playoffs, and which is all that matters. The Sixers, all they got to do is get to the playoffs. It doesn't even matter if they're a play-in team, honestly. They get to the playoffs with a healthy roster. That roster on paper, that should win the East. I don't know if they can win, you know, against the Spurs or OKC in the finals, but they should be in the NBA finals. On paper, they're so damn good. They have a great mix of veterans and young players and guys in their prime, literally, all phases.
What Brian just said, though, is intriguing, and it kind of taps into what pisses me off. He's used the term unfair, and I don't know that it's unfair, but when a player of that caliber takes $4 million a year over 2 years, coming off how much did he make, 50?
Yeah.
It feels like it's a bunch of BS for everybody else.
Sure, but we're quick to knock a guy for taking all the money and not care about winning. So shouldn't you praise a guy who doesn't want to take all the money?
Kang, I know. I know it's completely contradictory, and I'm being a hypocrite. I'm just pissed.
This kind of feels like when Myles Garrett got traded to the Rams. Like, you're already pretty damn good. Now this is like overkill. Like,
except they're paying him a whole mess load of money.
Yeah, well, the Rams are. But yeah, LeBron James, obviously, he wants to win a championship. He thinks the best path is with the Sixers at least getting to the NBA Finals. And once you get to the NBA Finals, you know, you throw the ball up, right? Because look what the Knicks just did. I don't think a lot of people probably thought the Spurs were going to beat the Knicks. But once you get there, it's a different story. And they are loaded without a doubt. But I agree with you, Gator. You still play the games. Things can still happen.
Yep.
Brian,
I'm not with Brian on that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He says what can happen, no team in the East. Maybe no team in these can beat them. Maybe injuries beat them. Maybe Father Time beats them. Maybe you're right. Maybe chemistry beats them, Gator. So there's a lot of factors. They're still going to play. But right now on paper, the Sixers, I mean, if I'm a Sixers fan, my God, what a day.
LeBron volunteers to go to Philly. 248-539-9797. Chris is next. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I know. I'm sitting here, I'm getting ready to go to this Morgan Wallen concert tonight, and I see this come across my phone, and you guys know I call every once in a while. I'm a Pistons and a Knicks fan, and the thing that popped right in my head was the Knicks have, like, this weird butterfly effect, and they broke the NBA after seeing what all these teams in the East have done. But the other thing that popped in my head was I remember hearing the same exact thing, especially from the last caller that I heard, that it's over when the Nets had Harden, Durant, and Kyrie. And those guys obviously got pretty close. They didn't get it done, but they could not stay and get all three of them on the court at the same time. And I seriously have the same feeling about this team. You might actually see that Brooklyn Nets team with Harden and them play more games together than you see Embiid, Brown, and LeBron on the floor. And you can't give me this, they're going to be healthy for the playoffs thing, because all it takes is one weird bounce for Embiid and his knee explodes, or his Bell's palsy flares up, or testicle, or anything. Pick an injury. I just don't see it happening. I still don't have a whole lot of belief in when you put these aging super teams together. They were saying the same thing. If LeBron went to Golden State, they're going to be too old.
Oh.
I mean, I know Edgecombe is great, and I know Maxey is really, really good and upcoming. But I don't have a whole lot of faith in the head case that is Jaylen Brown. And Mike knows that firsthand as a Celtics fan. And I don't have any faith in Joel Embiid.
I think giving up and just saying nobody's beating Philly is a bit extreme. because this is sports. And there's a large degree of unpredictability. If we go back, and I think if we go back in time and really do some research on this, we can find a team that nobody was talking about that happened to win the NBA title. Oh, wait a sec. That just happened. Now, right. We don't have to go back in time. So it's not over.
These are pieces.
But still, I'm pissed.
These are pieces you still have to play together as a team.
We're getting undermined in the East by LeBron doing something completely out of character. And that is actually taking a massive pay cut.
These things have happened before where superstar players take massive pay cuts to chase a championship, and it doesn't always work out. Paul Kariya did that to try to win a championship with Colorado. Went there for 1 year for, I think it was $1.4 million after he made $10 million the year before with Anaheim. Mm-hmm. Didn't work out. They didn't win the Stanley Cup, and they had a team with Solani to the mix as well. They couldn't get it done. So it doesn't always work out when you get the superstar to take the pay cut.
248-539-9797. More of your phone calls and reaction to the breaking news. At this hour, LeBron James takes $4 million a year, $8 million over 2 years, to go to Philly. With a dramatic reading of his feelings as he puts out on social media how he was on the brink of walking away, but he still wants to grind. What a hero. All right, we had to shift gears here. We were going to play the best of what A.J. Hinch told our morning show today, including should they buy if they keep Scooble, and what he thought of Scooble's comments about his elbow bothering him in January. And had to get in-season surgery. We're going to do that at 12:30 now, but we got breaking news that kind of took over the show that LeBron James is taking his talents and taking no money and going to Philly. And I'm frustrated because it feels to me like the Pistons got lapped. That makes me mad at Trajan. But I'm frustrated that the one caller called, I think it was Brian, called it unfair to have a player take like $4 million a year. Could you imagine how those negotiations went down? Like his agent's talking to Philly, and Philly says, well, we don't have any money. And they say, we don't care. Or maybe it was the other way. LeBron said, I'll take almost nothing. I just want to go there and play. And look, to Philly's credit, they created a roster that LeBron wanted to be a part of that he feels like has a better chance to win a championship than Detroit. That's good for Philly and bad for Detroit, quite frankly. I thought Detroit made themselves a more winnable roster in the way the game is played now by hoarding shooting to put around the core. But they just got lapped. And part of it is because LeBron James decided to do something completely out of character and take less money to go win a championship, which is applaudable. Okay? In many ways, it's applaudable. But it doesn't mean I'm not pissed, and it doesn't mean I'm not a hypocrite because I'm being hypocritical. There's no question about it.
So Joe Shad posted this 18 minutes ago. Odds to win the NBA Eastern Conference, according to FanDuel. The Knicks, plus 340. The mm-hmm. Sixers are plus 380.
Okay, they were plus, I did a Google search, they were plus 2,100 an hour ago.
Well, the Pistons are plus 850.
Oh, is this to win the East?
This is to win the East.
Okay, I'm sorry. I looked at odds to win
the NBA championship.
Are the Pistons the third favorite?
No.
Who's the third favorite?
Boston, plus 500. Followed by Toronto at plus 750, followed by the Pistons at plus 850, then so Cleveland and Miami.
There's four teams ahead of them?
That's correct.
Yeah.
But this is why people talk about windows, guys, because you don't know what's going to happen every offseason. And that's not just injuries. That's just roster, reconstruction. And look what, I'm not going to say I saw this coming from the Sixers, getting Jaylen Brown and LeBron James. But that's why last year at the trade deadline with the Pistons, a lot of fans were like, go, and I don't know what was available, what wasn't, but they're like, hey, get aggressive. Get, Michael Porter Jr., get Trey Murphy. Do something to try to capitalize on a number one seeded team with 60, maybe headed towards 60 wins to do something in the playoffs. And they didn't, and they played it safe, and then they saw where their roster was at, and they saw where they needed to improve. But then they tried to improve, and maybe things weren't available like they thought they were, and then look what happens elsewhere. You get lapped. And, like, the Pistons were the one seed last year. What seed are they going to be next year? The fifth? The sixth?
Are they even going to make the playoffs?
Well, listen, I think they'll make the playoffs, but I think it's a shoe-in. Like, things happen. Orlando was supposed to be really good, right? Well, they're a playing team. Things happen.
248-539-9797. Drake is in Windsor. Hello, Drake.
How's it going, guys?
What's up?
Big fan of the show. I just wanted to call about LeBron and kind of talk you off the ledge a little bit. I think, yeah, for sure, like, we could have been in the Jaylen Brown sweepstakes, but, like, Boston gave up Paul George, who's making $50 million a year. Detroit doesn't really have anyone unless we were going to sign and trade Jalen Duren, which at that point, do you really think LeBron's going to sign here to play with just Cade and Jaylen Brown?
Well, I don't know if it looks all that awful if it's Jaylen Brown. I mean, would you rather Jaylen Brown or Jaylen Duren?
Well, I'd rather have Jaylen Brown all day.
Okay, well, then what are we talking about? Because you're adding a better player to the mix in addition to some of the other moves that they've made. I mean, LeBron James with Jaylen Brown and Cade Cunningham and the other mix of characters looks like a pretty formidable team. Philadelphia looks like a more formidable team.
Yeah, that's fair. I just think that Philly kind of has, like, Embiid is a question mark because of his injuries. But if you trade Jaylen Duren to Boston, you have no one to play center, and LeBron's probably going to go somewhere else regardless. So, yeah, you would have Jaylen Brown, but you're not going to have Jaylen Duren next season, and you'd kind of be, I don't know. I definitely agree with Doug's point of, like, the Pistons got lapped, but also it's like, what are you going to do and mortgage the future when you can still go in right now for a Michael Porter or a Trey Murphy or someone like that?
Yeah, that's
like
a good question. All right, that's a valid point, and the ball's in your court, Trajan. You can still part with those draft picks and future assets. What was it? What was the reporting that there was three first-round picks for Trey Murphy?
Yeah.
And if I don't know, we don't know if it's true or not, but if it's three first-round picks for Trey Murphy, would you go get him now?
I mean, I would.
I would too. I would too. Well, the theory is I'm gladly giving up a bunch of late first round picks because that's what you want it to be. You want it to be, you are doing this with the theory we're going to compete every year. These are going to be late first round picks. This is a real dynamic scoring threat who can shoot from the perimeter. And you know, it's he'd immediately move into your starting lineup and make you more formidable.
Yeah, let's also not forget that Cade Cunningham hasn't exactly been the picture of health in his career either. You know, the difference between what he and Embiid have played in over the last 5 years, the difference is like 40 games.
The Lakers with Shaq, Kobe, Gary Payton, and Karl Malone were expected to win it. Then they ran into the going-to-work Pistons. Ooh. Anything could happen.
What happened there?
Andrew McComb, Philly? What a loser, for real. Can you win anything on your own? Well, he kind of did in Cleveland. I mean, he was the... I'm glad the Pistons didn't get Mr. Flopper Boy. That's from Jay at Michigan Assembly.
Oh, boy.
The Pistons are seventh in the East right now. They got worked by multiple GMs. Well, according to Vegas, they're fifth in the East.
Things are tight in the Eastern Conference. I mean, it looks like there's... you don't want to totally disrespect what the Knicks just did, and that's why Vegas has the Knicks as the top team in the Eastern Conference. But what Philadelphia has done right now, those two teams seem to be elite status right now. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is tough. I mean, the Pistons, the Pacers are going to look tougher. Cleveland's going to look tougher. Washington looks tougher. Orlando looks tougher. Toronto looks tougher.
The Hawks.
Atlanta,
actually,
yeah.
They actually gave the Knicks the hardest run during the playoffs.
Hawks are a good young group. Yeah. They are a really good young group.
It's a tough conference from top to bottom now in the East.
248-539-9797.
And by the way, the Eastern Conference won the NBA championship too. So everybody that keeps touting the West, take a good look at the East.
The people that are touting the West are doing so less and less.
Well, it's hard to do it when their team didn't win.
Yeah, right. And it was supposed to be, right? It was supposed to be a walkover.
Yeah.
More feedback here. The Pistons are working, trying to keep a center who can't shoot. They love their forward who can't shoot, and this is an NBA that's all about offense. Well, to be fair, they added three guys who will be in their rotation who all shot over 41% from three last year in Collins, Joe, and Prince. So they've added shooting. There's reason to like what the Pistons did, but it's also, I think, undeniable that they got lapped now. LeBron to the Sixers, man. 248-539-9797. Caleb writes in, you can always rely on Detroit GMs or owners to not make moves to put us over the hump for a championship. Well, and I mean, the one thing is that will spell out whether or not they made the right or wrong move is, do the Lions or Pistons ever get to the mountaintop? They're doing it their way. It does seem like they have drafted and have really good players that they want to hang on to, which is a good problem to have, but they're doing it in favor of doing big moves from outside the organization, playing a little bit of the long game here. If they never get to the mountaintop, then it was a failed approach. But will they get to the mountaintop is the question. 248-539-9797. And I think they got a shot. Like, I think the Pistons are in good shape to be around in the East for a while. And maybe the right move will come up where Trajan will do something big.
Well, as
maybe
long as
this will spark him to do something bigger.
As long as they have Cade Cunningham, you've got a good piece to build around. I mean, that's a franchise player, a true franchise player who hopefully is just getting started and to really reach his superstardom. But in order to win a championship, you've got to add pieces around that. And look, they've added, I think they're a better team now than what they were after the playoffs. However, the neighborhood got tougher too.
Sure did. Straight ahead, AJ Hinch. If the Tigers keep Scoobal, do you want him to buy? Hear what he told our morning show next on 97.1.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, busy day in Detroit sports. And, you know, look, breaking news in the NBA that certainly impacts us. LeBron James announcing he's going to Philly to play for free. In fact, he's giving them money.
That's how it feels, right?
Kind of. Tigers win 4-3 last night. There's a lot to talk about out of that game. We didn't get a chance to really get into it with Scoobal commenting about the criticism of him. But AJ Hinch was on the morning show today, and when he makes those appearances, we like to share the best of what he had to say, and we'll start with this. Is the Scoobal talk getting old for them in the clubhouse? Here's what the manager said. Okay, so when he's talking about his consecutive streak, it's how many times he's spoken to the media where the topic of Tarek Skubal has come up and the trade deadline. I mean, this is the biggest story in baseball.
Certainly one of them, yeah.
Yeah, the biggest story of the trade deadline. Certainly the biggest story of the trade deadline and maybe the biggest story in baseball.
Is he available?
Is he not available? What will it take? And there are some leaders emerging, and we'll kind of dive into that probably a little bit more in the 1 o'clock hour. But bottom line here is, you know, they're pros. if you think about all you deal with as a professional athlete, people asking you about the trade deadline isn't the worst thing in the world. You show up, you put on a uniform, you go play a game, you talk to members of the media, they ask you the same questions, you answer them, you go home. Sounds like a pretty sweet job. So I don't think this is that big a deal that they have to answer questions about Tarek Skubal.
No, and he doesn't seem like he's pissed by it or annoyed by it. He's just taking it as it is. Yeah, I know you guys are going to ask about it, and it's what it is. But you can hear when he says, it's been a long trade deadline.
Yep.
And when you hear the first question in May, and here we are July 24th, and we still have to get to August 3rd for the deadline, yeah, it's going to be long. But they all know it. It's all part of the business of baseball. And the Tigers can go either way. 2 years ago, this team traded Jack Flaherty, who was going to be a free agent at the end of the year. They traded him away, and they still went out and made the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
They had a heck of a run in the second half of that season, and that's what got them there. Right now, there's so much heavy lifting still to do for this team, but they're playing much better and makes you feel like, okay, this is a pretty good baseball team. Now, can they survive if they were to trade Tarek Skubal? I think they can, and it's a question they have to ask themselves, because losing him for nothing at the end of the season would really, really suck.
Next up, Skubal made some comments that really raised people's ire, saying he felt like something was wrong with his elbow in January, thought he could power through it, and then later added, and the unfortunate part was maybe subconsciously it was because we were in arbitration. And essentially he didn't want the Tigers to know he was sore as they were negotiating what his contract was going to be with an arbiter. And people were mad, and I get why. AJ Hinch, what did you make of those comments? You know, I've admitted that at times, and I'm certainly doing it today, being hypocritical when it comes to LeBron. I also think we in the media can be hypocritical when we hate players that use cliches and don't really say anything interesting and don't tell us how they're really feeling, how they really believe. And Skubal is an open book, and Skubal could just shut it all down and just say to the media, I'm taking everything one day at a time. I just hope that if we work hard, things will work out. Like, he could be the most boring person ever, but he is... You know, he has said some things, and certainly I understand why people were mad. He probably never should have said that. He'll just stick to cliches about working hard and getting pucks deep.
Right. Look, it really doesn't matter what he's going to say at this point. I think the whole key to this whole situation in the future, I think it might reside with AJ Hinch. And what he said, where he's like, he's close to Skubal. He talks to Tarek. He jokes around with him. So there could be a moment, and they probably had this moment, where they've talked a little bit about the future. You know, where there's a situation where there's no Scott Boras and there's no Scott Harris. Get the Scots out of it, and it's just AJ talking with Tarek Skubal. AJ, I think, knows exactly what's going to happen in the offseason in terms of does Tarek, Is it possible to re-sign him, or is he just going to go to free agency and they know they can't compete? I think he already knows, or at least he should know, because he's got that relationship. I don't think Tarek Skubal, based on his comments last night about the business side of it and how he didn't like that with arbitration, about things that were said, I get the impression Tarek Skubal doesn't want to say anything to Scott Harris. But AJ Hinch is a different story.
All right, next up. Has this team made a strong enough case to stay together and make a run for the postseason? Yeah, I mean, when you look at it in those terms, they probably got to win like 15 of those series and maybe sweep an opponent here and there. I mean, last night they flew very close to the sun against a bad and depleted Kansas City team, but that's baseball. Hopefully they can win this series and build that resume as we move towards the deadline.
Well, towards the deadline, keep this in mind too, right? There's six games back in the Central. Cleveland, who's one of those teams they're chasing, plays their next three games at Tampa Bay, one of the top teams in baseball, and the top team in the American League, I believe. Then they go and play three more at Cincinnati. Cincinnati's kind of like the Tigers record-wise. Then they return home and play three more games against Arizona, who's playing above 500 baseball in the National League. It's not an easy road to go for Cleveland. Looking at the White Sox, right? Everybody's wondering, are the White Sox for real or what? What's going on here?
Yeah.
They play their next three games at home against Houston. Houston's a good team, not a great team. Then they play the next four at home against the Yankees. And the Yankees are starting to get healthy again. Then they play the next three games at Tampa Bay. Could you see a losing record in those 10 games from both of those teams, Cleveland and Chicago, specifically Chicago? Looks like that could be a losing record in those 10 games.
Yeah.
And if the Tigers keep doing what they're doing, this thing gets real tight by the trade deadline.
Yeah, it really could. All right, so final thing here. Would you make a case, and Costa brought it up, how the case is made that if you don't trade Skubal, you should buy and strengthen the roster. Would you? And the question was asked, AJ, would you like to see this team buy at the deadline? Here's what he said.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Safe answer, because if he said yes, he's putting a lot of pressure on Scott Harris, and then we get into the Dylan Larkin, Steve Eisman public league battling over should have added something or not. So AJ is very media savvy, and he usually and is really, really good at answering questions and give a lot of insight into what he's thinking. That one, I'm not sure he was really at liberty to say much potentially creating a problem.
The phrase, we want to have Tarik Skubal for as long as we possibly can, is interesting, because what does that mean? I mean, does that mean that he knows that they can't have him after this season? So we want to keep him as long as we possibly can, which means as long as we stay relevant going into the trade deadline, or committed to riding out this season with him right now. I think at the very least that he would like to ride the season out with him right now, because Tarik Skubal gives him and this team a better chance to win, because obviously he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. But will the Tigers commit to that for the rest of the year? I don't know. Well, that depends on what the record's going to be over these last 10 games going into the trade deadline.
There it is. AJ Hinch from The Morning Show. Your thoughts, 248-539-9797. We've taken calls on the Lions. What excites you most about this Lions season? Pistons, well, looks like their work's really cut out for them as LeBron James announces today he's taking $4 million a year and going to Philly. Coming up at 102, I want to get something from you and something from Kang, and I'll have one too. Everybody's speculating who's going to walk Morgan Wallen out tonight at the Big House when they have these stadium shows. Usually it's some sort of local celebrity that will walk out the tunnel with Morgan Wallen.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the predictions are coming in. Everything is going to be Aiden Hutchinson or Derek Jeter or Kyle Whittingham or somebody like that.
Did they do this last year? Was it Zach Bryant?
Yeah, Zach Bryant. And I, my kids were there, and I have no idea who walked him out. But who? Let's see.
It's got to be Hutch. I mean, he's in town right now. They're getting ready to start training camp.
Mm-hmm.
Is he a country music guy?
Yeah, I think he is, yeah.
I mean, he's probably the odds-on favorite for all the betting markets, but, I mean, someone else would be, I think, different, would be cool, you know?
In Baltimore, Ray Lewis walked him out. That's an example of how, you know,
when
Ray Lewis walked out
Morgan Wallen when he had his concert in Baltimore.
I think Mahomes and Kelsey did it when he did in Kansas City, the concert.
Mm-hmm. Morgan Wallen walked out by Peyton Manning, Josh Heupel, and members of the Tennessee baseball team when they played in the Volunteers, their stadium. So, but here's what I want. We're not going to pick the obvious. We're going to come up with some off the wall. Like, that's a bit of a stretch, but here's who I think it might be.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got you. I've already got one.
Do you? Good. Yeah. All right.
That was quick.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
That's how I work.
Do you even know who Morgan Wallen is?
Up until about 6 months ago.
You thought it was a chick.
I would ask, who is she?
You're right. Sounds hot.
Right? Have you heard Lace Morgan Wallen? I don't know. Who is she? What is she? Country singer?
Well, I am going tonight.
I don't mean any disrespect. I just I don't pay attention to the country music scene, so I wouldn't have known. And then Morgan is kind of, you know.
And big.
I grew up going to games at the Big House, Section 17, Row 80, Seat 30 or 31. Those were our season tickets. And the last time I sat in the stands for a game was Manchester United versus whoever they played in that friendly they had back there like 15 years ago. So I'm going to be in the stands tonight. Looking forward to, I don't know if you know this, but before football games, fans get together and do this. They have this ritual where they have some beers and some food and they call it tailgating.
Oh yeah. I've heard of that.
I will get to do some of the tailgating.
Oh.
And I am looking forward to the tailgating.
It looks like it should be a nice night.
Yep. Yep.
Huh.
248-539-9797.
You riding your bike to the game? To the concert?
So here's what's interesting is we have planted a car so that after the game, put a car on the streets for free, close to the stadium, leave it there, and then we'll have one close by. And I might plant another one and then ride my bike to where the tailgating will be.
Oh.
Yes. So I might, the bike may be involved at some point, but parking is expensive.
Don't forget your helmet.
Of course not. Hello.
How expensive is parking? More than $50?
I thought I heard $100 at Ann Arbor Golf and Outing.
Good.
I'm sorry, $100 at Pioneer. I heard that some places nearby are $250.
For parking?
For parking, yes.
That's insane.
I know.
That's why I plant
a car and ride my bike.
Well, that's wise, but I think that's gouging, man. That's really unfair. You're already going to pay who knows how much the tickets are, at least $100 for a ticket, I'm sure. And now you're talking $250 to park?
Well.
That's bogue. I'm saying it. That's bogue.
Mm-hmm.
Is that bogue, Kang? That's bogue.
Yeah, of course. That's ridiculous. And I think I've started reading a bunch of articles and just workarounds.
I don't care how hot she is. That's bogue.
But yeah, this is part of getting big events though, is paying high prices for parking, right, Doug? I mean, we all want cool things
here
to see
and do. Look, I'm not thrilled about it, but I also am not paying it because I refuse to.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I'll wear 100 helmets if I have to if it gets me free parking.
Like, attaboy.
Right?
It's my guy.
Well, you almost killed him in Vegas.
I did.
I almost had to bury him in the desert.
I did wear a helmet though.
Yeah, you needed to.
We went to Vegas as a show probably a decade ago, and we rented mountain bikes, and you said, yeah, I'll go. And we got out in the desert there a little bit, and Kang taped a video of me riding away from me and narrated, said, he's trying to kill me.
We should have had Gator come with us.
I was golfing.
Yeah, he was.
Wise choice.
Golfing in the middle of the desert that day.
Still hot.
It was the craziest experience. Beautiful course in the middle of nowhere. Absolutely beautiful. We had to drive a half an hour away from this trip to play, and there was nothing around there. It may have been in like an Indian reservation area where this golf course was. You would hit the ball off the tee, and you could hear it land in the fairway, if you were so fortunate to hit the fairway, on a drive.
You could hear it?
You could hear it. That's how quiet it was. I'm not exaggerating on that. It was unbelievable. What an experience.
That's why I didn't kill Kang and bury him, because people would have heard me digging the ditch.
More than likely.
Yeah. So, Rich in Detroit, you're next. Hello, Rich.
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, Rich.
Man, it's LeBron, the Philly news is, I did not expect that.
Right.
But I just think some of the ways that people are looking at this, to me, my ultimate takeaway is every last one of the Detroit GMs who played the super slow, we'll win it in 3 years approach, it seemed to just bite them every single time. Every last one of those things just came up snake eyes, if you ask me. And I think the Pistons definitely tried to get in on the Jaylen Brown trade. Boston was not going to trade Jaylen Duren for Jaylen Brown in any kind of way. And that was all we really had.
Rich, you know, probably, hold on. No, probably they were reportedly very interested in Austin Reeves. And that would have been a very aggressive move. And, I you know, the Lakers decided he was their priority and weren't going to let him get away. That would have been an awesome move.
But my point is, Doug, they had no way to get to the point where they would have had something that LeBron James would have said, I'm coming to. So if you go there, if you start with that premise, the Pistons still have, I mean, the Kevin Durant, Trey Turner, or Michael Porter Jr. trade is still sitting out there for them.
That is true.
And now those things are going to move. No team that had those pieces, everybody was just waiting on LBJ. Now those are going to move. I believe Trajan's getting one of those guys.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right. And I'll also say this. I don't think you should concede that all Detroit teams are never going to win anything, if I interpreted what you said correctly.
Well, I wasn't saying that they're never going to do anything. I'm just saying I was highly critical of the super slow, we'll win it in 3 years play from every GM. I thought that was the wrong approach. And I'm just saying, now I think it comes up and shows that, to me, you can't win a championship unless you are actively outright trying to win a championship. And that stuff about wait, I think that whole thing was ridiculous from all three of the
GMs. Well, I'm not sure that all the GMs would say that they're not trying to win a championship. And I will not concede that none of these teams ever will. I think that is, just because they haven't doesn't mean that they won't. And you got to, sometimes when it comes to the trade, it's got to be the right player at the right price.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah.
Ryan in Detroit, you're next. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to comment on the LeBron stuff, too.
Yep.
I don't know if there was ever a deal in place to bring him to Detroit, but I know Mike brought it up on his show when the Pistons got bounced that the fit would have been great for him to come here. I think the fans would have accepted him, too, even though he played at Cleveland for so long. Mm-hmm. But I don't think the man wanted to come here. I don't think it would feel like fraudulent for him to see him in a Pistons uniform.
Well, if you look at the rosters of both teams, and which team would you choose if you were LeBron James?
The acquisition of Brown for sure made Philly more appealing, for sure. But I just, the guy just comes off as a little bit of a me guy. Like, DJ, caller DJ brings it up on their show and your guys' show. He kind of has a narcissistic attitude. I get it. He wants to win. He wants to do something that's never been done, is win four rings with four different teams. But this just seems like ring chasing and a little bit like Shaquille O'Neal on the Celtics, to be honest with you.
I'm going to use it at this point to do everything I can to slander LeBron. Just the effort. At this point, he took so little money to go there. It is irritating. And he has every right to do what he wants. Some of it's applaudable. Hey, I took less money. It's not all about the money. But we all know he's going to be fine financially. And he didn't come here, so screw him.
I'm glad he's going to be fine financially.
His statement sucked.
I'm happy that's the case for him.
All right, we'll have our off-the-wall predictions on who walks out Morgan Wallen tonight at the Big House. Coming up today at 102, Carson Anderson, 97.1.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.